was very complex, and we actually had to change legislation to make that happen. And we actually built in an expiry date into that, which was the 31st of December 2013. That's the process that we went through at that particular time. I think about 33% of the state was in drought. There'd been wildfires go through, and the drought, of course, the impacts of it. But we bent over backwards to assist farmers, and we're still doing that through, you know, assistance with transportation, assistance with the cost of fodder, and we have a lot of our reserves and our mining areas open up as well. But we are not in the habit of opening up national parks on an open basis to do this on an ongoing process.
Minister Dixon, I just have to pick you up on one thing, and that is, and it's a point that Mrs. McDowell has made quite clearly, is that the government isn't actually assisting with the cost of fodder. They're assisting with the cost of the freight of fodder. So if you can't afford the fodder, then you don't even get off square one under the drought assistance program.
Well, my understanding from the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries and Forestry is that we're covering up to about 100% of the transport cost for breeders and calves, and 75% of those non-breeders. But we're also giving out loans of up to $20,000 and $30,000 to producers to put in management plans in place, and also to help with drought relief assistance. And that would then be up to the farmers, I suppose, to decide what they want to buy with that money.
Well, a lot of those subsidies, with respect, do rely on the grazier having the money, the outlay, to put up before you can get a refund. But what do you say to those people that are desperately looking across the fence at your national parks and all they see is grass that could save the lives of their cattle?
Well, we're now at the end of January. The cattle have been out of those national parks for just over a month, and I can't imagine growing back at a copious rates. The reason that we got the cattle off those properties at that particular stage was that we'd brokered a deal with the cattle grazing industry to allow people that have been knocked around by the drought and by the wildfires to have that grace in time, which was roughly about 6 months, of which we charged absolutely nothing, because that's what we should do. We were facing a huge animal welfare crisis, of which we still are now. But the solution is, as we all know, it's rain. And nobody can make that happen. You know, it's just, it'll either happen or it won't. And it is very, very difficult to go opening national parks just for grazing. You know, there are many, many businesses right throughout this state and throughout this country that do it tough. And we've seen that with the car industry, and we've seen it with many industries. I think it's a matter of we all plan together and we try to help each other as much as we can. And that's what the Queensland government has done.
I guess in the specific instance that was raised by Mrs. McDowell, she was talking about the Blackbrays National Park, where the grass she describes as being lush and like a wheat field. That kind of description is very emotive when you look at some of the contrasting landscape around those parts.
I'm very happy to go out there and have a look, but clear direction of the government and clear direction of Cabinet is we brokered a deal with the grazing industry, of which we fulfilled our component and the grazing industry fulfilled theirs by being out by the 31st of December. We don't have solutions for every single problem there is, but we have bent over backwards. We are giving these subsidies, and where we are assisting people relocate their cattle, that we won't be able to resolve every single problem that we ever run across, but we are going to do the best we can with the tools that we have at hand to be able to deliver good outcomes. But I am very pleased to go out and look at these national parks that you're referring to and see what condition they're in. But the feedback I've got from my staff is that the use that these parks have sustained over that period of time has lessened the amount of buffalo grass, but I'm not sure that it's recovered to the extent you're talking about.
And what is the imminent environmental harm that could be caused by allowing the cattle to re-enter those parks?
Well, I don't think there has been much at all. What there has been is a reduction in the buffalo grass, which is an imported species from Africa that was grown profusely in a lot of these national parks, and it is actually being chewed down. And what it's actually done, and this is a great thing where we've worked hand in glove with the grazing industry, it's actually minimised the possible impact of getting those wildfires going through again, because this grass has been chewed right down. So it has been a benefit to all involved, and I think it's been a benefit environmentally as well, because this grass is intrusive that grows into our national parks and takes a footing where we want our protected species to be.
How does the knowledge that your decision to force the removal of those cattle, the fact that that's led directly to the death of many of those cattle, how does that affect you personally?
Well, I come off the farm originally, and we were forced off the land through drought, so I understand it firsthand. What we did as a government, we went out with an assistance package to allow graziers to utilise these national parks, and everybody went in with their eyes open. and nobody's been forced to do anything. This was a deal that was brokered, and everybody fulfilled their component. And I'm very proud of our government for putting that opportunity forward so that we could assist at that particular time when there was a huge animal welfare crisis hitting the state.
And still is. Could you be accused, your government, of being an Indian giver, giving with one hand and taking with another?
No, what I make the point very clearly is a deal is a deal. We stuck to our component of the deal and the graziers stuck to their component of the deal. As I said earlier, I'm very proud of the way our government moved forward and assisted farmers in their time of crisis. And I do realise that not everywhere's got rain, but I hope there's a big change with this blow that's coming through at the moment. And I hope it rains right throughout Hewitt and right throughout all those areas of Western Queensland, that we get a good growth season. But that's in the hands of others, not I.